right. Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's a rainy Sunday morning, but praise God that we get to worship him for all he is and all he has done for us. My name is Luke Hatfield, and as Eric said earlier, I grew up at Open Door Bible Church. My parents, Tim and Laura Hatfield, still attend here, and so it is great to be with you this morning. I wanted to say, before we begin the sermon, thank you so much. We have been in ministry. This is my 14th year as a campus minister at Ripon College with Campus Collective Christian Ministries. And I absolutely love what I get to do. We are missionaries to that college. And so as this is my 14th year, every 7 years, our ministry requires us to take a sabbatical where we take an entire semester off. We still get paid, and we are just resting and kind of rejuvenating. And so I am in sabbatical right now during this spring semester. And depending on how you look at it, it was good timing or bad timing, but I tore my ACL February 11th. And so I had surgery Friday the 13th of March. I'm just barely, not quite a month in. It's doing well, but it definitely has been a challenge, including mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Physically, things are going very well. But some of you know what chronic pain and chronic illness is like. And so it's kind of like that. It's a timely message for myself this morning, as well as I know for all of us. But I just wanted to say thank you for your support, because Open Door has been with us since the very beginning as one of our major supporters. And it is such a blessing to get to do what we get to do and to have supporters like you that help us be there on campus full time. So thank you so much. As we look into God's word this morning, I wanted to start out with a story. I've been in college ministry now 14 years. I was in youth ministry for 6 years before that. So I've had 20 years working with youth. And I knew a young man who shared with me about some of his mental health struggles, specifically with obsessive compulsive disorder, OCD. And I really got an insight into his struggle when he told me this story. He was in high school and on the upper level math track and struggled with homework. His struggle was not with getting the right answers. His struggle was to just write the answers down. He was worried that he might accidentally put a decimal point in his answer where it didn't belong, and then the person correcting it wouldn't see it, and then his answer would get marked correct when it should be marked wrong, and then he would be guilty of cheating. Did you follow that weird logic? So keep in mind that all of this was going on in his mind with every single answer he tried to write down. And he was writing down the correct answers. It made absolutely no sense. So he started out doing his homework in pencil, as every math teacher will tell you to do, right? But he would write the same answer down and then erase it, and then write the same answer down and erase it, and write it down and erase it, until he was sure that the decimal point wasn't possibly in the wrong place. So eventually he switched to pen, because it was easier to just write it down and cross it out and write it down and cross it out and write it down and cross it out. His homework must have looked so strange to his classmates or his teacher when they were correcting it. The same answer written out 3 or 4 times and crossed out, and then the same answer written down again. Homework was so frustrating for this young man that he told me that one time he asked his mom's permission and took an old piece of a sectional couch outside in their driveway and just smashed it to smithereens in frustration. This was a happy-go-lucky kid. Like, it was hard for me to picture him getting in such a rage that he could smash a piece of furniture in his driveway. Mental illness is no joke. And that young man was me. I was diagnosed with a mild case of obsessive compulsive disorder when I was 16. But I had probably been living with it since I was in about fourth grade. Medication, therapy, prayer, replacing stinking thinking with truth, the love and help and prayer of so many others, all of these things and more have been part of my healing. In 2010, after four years in youth ministry, I had a burnout depression that lasted 4 months. It was the worst time in my life. I felt empty and hollow. I had no desire for anything, even food, which if you know me, you know that's really bad. I lost about 20 pounds. And back then, 20 pounds was noticeable. but again, many prayers, therapy, medication, rest, life changes, all were a part of my healing. And God has used these hardships for great good in my life. I wouldn't trade them, but I also wouldn't wish them on anyone. They help me relate to other people in ministry. And I know that there are some of you in this room who are struggling with mental health right now. And I know that you've struggled for it probably for longer than me, maybe. Others of you, I know you have chronic illnesses, and that's its own kind of mental health challenge. Some of you have people that you love that struggle with mental health, that you have been walking alongside for years and years and years. I want you to know that God sees you, and He knows, and He cares. And so we're going to look into mental health today. Specifically, we're going to look at anxiety and depression. But before we begin, I want to make something crystal clear. What God's word says, and what we will be talking about this morning, applies to all kinds of anxiety and depression and mental health. But there is a difference, a big difference, between the normal anxious or depressive feelings that we all experience in life and an anxiety disorder or clinical depression or other mental health disorders. God can and still does do miracles. But unless He miraculously heals you, just doing more spiritual practices or even taking the prescriptions that I give you today will not heal you of a mental disorder. Having any mental health disorder is not a punishment from God. I'm going to say that again. Having any mental health or physical is not a punishment from God. And it's not because you don't have enough faith that you don't get better. If you think that you are experiencing a higher than normal level of anxious, depressive, or other feelings, or if you have other mental health symptoms that are interfering with your everyday life, please, please talk to someone about it. You could start with a family member, a friend, a pastor. Come talk to me after the service. And if you determine that you're experiencing a higher than normal disruptive level of mental health symptoms, the next step is to seek professional help. One more really important element to this conversation that I want to address before we dig into God's word is actually about the purpose of God's word. The Bible is not a mental health textbook. It's not a diagnostic tool for mental health disorders. Nor is it a book of self-help principles. The Bible does, of course, address these and many other aspects of life in our world, but the primary purpose of the Bible is to help us know God. So while the Bible can provide answers to our problems and gives us great truths about life, the reason we should be going to the Bible is first, foremost, and always to know and treasure God. God did not give us the Bible so that we could always be right. He gave us the Bible so we could rightly know Him and how to be made right with Him through faith in Jesus Christ and enjoy living in that right relationship with Him now and forever. So this morning, we are going to look at several texts in God's word to see two prescriptions for anxiety, one prescription for depression, and four provisions of God for us. Let's pray before we jump in. Heavenly Father, thank you for your amazing love for us and your presence with us and among us and in this world. Thank you that you know all things and you see all things and you care about every detail of our lives. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you walked this sin-filled earth. And though you were sinless, the Bible tells us that you were tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin, and you experienced mental anguish, physical pain, spiritual trials even beyond what we could comprehend. So you know what we are going through. You are our great high priest who is able to sympathize with us in our weaknesses and in our struggles. Thank you. I pray that as we look into your word now, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so if you would turn with me, first of all, in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. This may be a familiar story to some of you. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. And I'm going to be reading out of the ESV. So it says, "Now, as they went on their way," that's Jesus and his disciples, "Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.'" Parents, you guys have probably heard this one before, right? "But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" This first principle for dealing with anxiety runs throughout the Bible. Eric read that story about Peter on the water. We see it in the principle of abiding in Jesus. The principle we learn for dealing with anxiety from this event in the life of Jesus and throughout the Bible is the principle of priorities, or you could say focus. If we fail to keep Jesus as the first priority in our lives, constantly looking to him, we will be distracted by and anxious about all kinds of other things, because there's all sorts of other things to be distracted and anxious about. We have to constantly keep choosing over and over and over again. This is one of the primary battles of the Christian life, is to constantly choose to keep putting our eyes back on Jesus, to make him our greatest portion, our highest priority. And the cool thing, the amazing thing, is he wants to give us himself. So when we choose to trust him and give him our allegiance and keep focusing on him over and over and over again, he's not going to take himself away from us, because he wants us to have him. The next passage we're going to look at for our second principle is Philippians 4, 6 to 7. And I'm sure many of you guys have, maybe some of you have this verse memorized. You've heard it before. I'm reading from the NLT. "Don't worry about anything." Sheesh. What a burdensome command it feels like, right? Don't worry about anything. Oh, anything? Can it just be like the really big things or the small? Don't sweat the small stuff, right? No, don't worry about anything. Thankfully, we don't just have a don't command. The Bible, oftentimes when it tells us don't do this, it says do this instead. Put off this, put on this. And that's what this passage goes on to say. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. then, and this is a mind-blowing promise, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but I need my heart and mind guarded. And so the principle for dealing with anxiety from this passage is prayer. Specifically mentioned, though, are asking and thanking. Asking God reorients us away from the circumstances and all the what ifs and the things we're spinning around in our mind and back to God, because we're asking Him about the circumstances. And so it gives us that perspective that we need. It reminds us that God is in complete control, that He's not surprised by our circumstances, that He loves us. And if we are trusting Jesus, that He is with us and for us and in us. Thanking God keeps our focus on Him, and it also helps us step back from whatever that circumstance is and gives us a deeper and fuller perspective of our lives, rather than just focusing tunnel vision on the one thing we're worried about. So when you find yourself starting to worry, look up to God and tell Him about it. Ask Him for help, strength, wisdom, guidance, and then look back around your life, take a wider perspective, and start thanking Him for all the blessings you have. It's amazing the power that gratitude can have to give us perspective. We need prayer to be our first response rather than our last resort. We need thankfulness to God to be a steady stream of gratitude rather than just before meals an exclamation of relief or one holiday a year. Imagine how your life would be different if you traded carrying the burden of your worries for giving them over to the all-powerful God of the universe. Imagine what it would be like to trade the weight of the world for gratitude to God. I think it would feel a lot like God's peace guarding your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So far we've seen two biblical prescriptions for anxiety: priorities and prayer. Now let's take a look at a biblical prescription for dealing with depression. And this comes from Proverbs 12:25. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. It says, "Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad." Now, it's really important to note when you just jump into a proverb, it's important to know that proverbs are principles, not promises. They describe things that are generally true. Observation about how life works. So what does God teach us through this general principle about how life works? Well, first we see that sometimes anxiety actually leads to depression. It can be a contributing factor because your mind is constantly spinning in anxiety and you get depressed. But notice that we also get a prescription for depressive feelings in this proverb, and it is a good word. Now, where do we find good words? In God's word. That's right, in God's word and from good people. So a biblical prescription for depression is good words from God's word and good people. And good people include other Christians, include family members, trusted people in our lives, friends, can include mental health professionals. So to close our time this morning, I want to share four good words from God's word. And the first is love. John 15, 9 and 13, Jesus is talking to his disciples on the night he's betrayed. And he says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." We need to take a little pause there, because as the Father has loved me. This is the love within the Trinity. The mysterious nature of God, where he is three persons, one God. And this love has been going on from all eternity past. Jesus existed eternally going backwards, and he came to earth as a human at one point in time. I sometimes ask college students the little trick trivia question, how old is Jesus? Right? And there's three right answers. Eternal, right? 2,000 whatever years, and 33 or 35, whatever he was when he died, right? So like there's different answers, but this is an eternal love that we can't even fully comprehend. So Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, that's the way I love you. And then he says, abide in my love. Are you letting God's love for you define who you are? Define your life? And then Jesus goes on to say something really cool. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And Romans 5:8 tells us that while we were still his enemies, Christ died for us to make us his friends. You are loved beyond what you can imagine. Do you trust that love? Well, the second good word is joy. Joy. John 15:11, Jesus again says, these things I have spoken to you so that you can go and live a dutiful life and mope around and wait. These things I have spoken to you that my joy, not circumstantial happiness, not paste a smile on and fake it till you make it, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be just a little bit of a taste until heaven. No. That your joy may be full. This obviously doesn't depend on circumstances. I'm limping around on a knee right now. I know it's not dependent on circumstances. This is Jesus' joy. Joy that surpasses our circumstances. That can be in us despite our circumstances. Well, the third good word I want to share with you is peace. Again, the night he was betrayed, Jesus is talking about all these things, by the way. John 16:33, he says, I have said these things to you that in me, you may have peace. Not in every circumstance. Not that you're always going to feel perfectly peaceful, but in Jesus, we can have peace. And I love how he just is so real. In the world, you will have tribulation. Count on it. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. There is nothing in your life that Jesus has not already overcome. There is nothing in your life that Jesus has not already overcome. Is that good news? Open door. Amen. Amen. We sang it. I'm fighting a battle you've already won. No matter what comes my way, I will overcome. Not in my strength, but because he's already overcome. So we can have love and joy and peace. And the last good word I want to leave you with this morning is hope. I spent an entire week at a camp teaching on this one verse, Romans 15:13. May the God of hope. Isn't that a cool description of God? He is the God of hope. He rules, he provides, he is the source of all hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Those sound familiar. With all joy and peace in believing, so that by your own power and strength, you will pull yourself. Wait. so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may have just barely enough hope to get you, so that you may abound in hope. This is something I love about God. He is lavish. He doesn't give us a little bit, just barely enough. He is lavish with his love and joy and peace and hope. Hope is forward looking. It's future looking. But it's not the like, cross your fingers, I really hope the Packers get it together this year and win a playoff game. Right? That's not what biblical hope is. Biblical hope is the confident assurance that God will keep his promises. So even though the future, it's still future, we know it's going to happen. That's hope. So what do you need this morning? Is God calling you to talk to someone about your mental health? It could be a professional, of course. It could also start with a family member or someone who knows you well. And a great question to ask them would be, what has your perception of my mental health been like over the past month? Ask someone close to you. Because sometimes the people around us can see it more clearly than we can. I actually remember when I was coming out of my burnout depression, I remember other people saying things to me like, your eyes seem a little lighter. I can see the light in your eyes. You seem a little more engaged or happy. Because I was scared that I was never going to come out of depression. And so I was kind of like not sure. And it was helpful to have other people around me telling me what they observed. Another thing that the counselor had us do was mark smiley faces 3 times a day. So like morning, was it like a smiley face, a flat face, or a frown face? Midday and evening. And keep track of that, because otherwise you're just going on what the last thing you felt is. But it gives you at least a little bit of objective data to look at. Maybe God is calling you to talk to someone else about their mental health. And so, again, a good question would be, what's your mental health been like this past month? Or maybe a little bit more of a spiritual perspective on that question, how's your soul? I have found that question to be really, it arrests people a little bit, like, oh, my soul. Yeah, I do have one of those. You know, but really ask the people around you who you love, how's your soul? Do you need the reminder this morning to keep our amazing King Jesus as the number one priority in your life? Do you need the reminder to make prayer your first response rather than your last resort, especially when you're anxious? To stop asking all the what ifs and spinning it around in your own mind and start thanking and asking the God of the universe? Do you need the reminder to fill up your mind with good words from God's word and good people instead of filling it maybe with trash from social media? Or the news, or TV shows, or toxic people. Maybe God is calling some of you to a social media or other media fast. Do you need love, or joy, or peace, or hope? Because God is the source of all of those things, and more. What I know is that we all desperately need Jesus. If you are trusting and following King Jesus, you need to know that no matter what mental health or any other struggle you are going through, he is with you and he is for you. He knows what you're going through, and that struggle, no matter how long or how intense, has a good purpose for you, and it pales in comparison to the weight of glory waiting to be revealed in us and to us for all eternity. And if you're here this morning and you have not yet trusted in Jesus, what's stopping you? Because we can talk about all the biblical principles in the world for mental health. You can seek health and wealth and security and identity, but apart from Jesus, it's all just putting Band-Aids on a fatal wound. Your biggest problem, my biggest problem, all our biggest problem is not mental, physical, emotional, social, or financial, or any other kind of health. It's our spiritual health. Because God made us to be with Him, but our own sinfulness separates us from Him. Which is why He sent Jesus. And Jesus paid for our sins, all sins, when He died on the cross. And He rose again in victory to prove that He really could save us, that He really was God with us, God in the flesh, fully God and fully man. And His resurrection proves His power, proves that God accepted His sacrifice, so that now everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ alone has eternal life. And life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. So if you've never trusted Jesus, you can do so right now, this morning. You simply admit your need, that you are a sinner before God, and trust Him. Say, I trust you, Jesus, as my Savior. And you can begin an eternal relationship with God this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you loved us and sent your Son. Thank you, Jesus, that you perfectly obeyed the Father, lived the perfect sinless life that none of us could, and then instead of taking what you deserved, you took what we deserve, our punishment. You took it on the cross. And you said, no one takes your life away, but you gladly give it up. And you had not only the power to give it up, but to take it back up again. And thank you, Jesus, that you rose in victory. As we celebrated last week at Easter, let us celebrate it every day of the year that you are a risen Savior, that you are alive, and you can deliver us and give us eternal life. It's only available through you, Jesus, and what you have done, and by putting our trust and hope in you. Thank you, God, that you are with us in whatever we're facing. Help us to look to you and trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.